Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino bi-week edition, but there's still a lot to talk about. My name is Brandon Drum, Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe on the board. Guys, Parker, they came off a great win. We'll see if our Mason Thomas is going to be healthy. BV didn't want to be outright and all that. But there's still a lot of recruiting to talk about. There's still a lot of answers. College football playoffs, new rankings came out. Well, we can break down that because I have some things to say about some of that. It's a little weird. But it's still the first one, so it really doesn't matter. But it's still fun fodder. It's fun fodder at this point. And obviously, we're going to answer a lot of Super Chat questions as well. So, but before we do all that, Parker, thank our sponsors.
Yes, indeed. Riverwind Casino, folks, is our presenting sponsor here on the Under the Visor.
I should switch my microphone so I sound better. I probably sound a lot better now, don't I?
You sound a ton better. I was like, echo chamber.
Yes, folks, Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor on the Under the Visor podcast, as well as OU Insider Live. Riverwind Casino has been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to Janna King, the greatest team to ever clean, and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to JannaKing.com. That's JannaKing.com. A word from Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. On Prize Picks, how you play is up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the Power Play. No matter your play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. They offer Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, folks, let me introduce you to the last wallet you will ever buy. It's certainly the last wallet I will ever buy, and that is the Ridge wallet. Look at how compact, look at how sleek, look at how modern this sucker is, as opposed to the bulky wallet that you're used to carrying around. Ridge is literally just the size of a credit card. Now, it holds 6 to 12 cards. You have a strap for cash. And the Ridge wallet, mind you, has RFID blocking technology. So you don't have to worry about your credit card information or anything that could compromise your data being stolen, because the RFID blocking technology will prevent that. Keeps you safe from digital pickpocketers. It has over 100,000 five-star reviews. And Ridge isn't just about wallets. They create premium everyday carry essentials like key cases, suitcases, and rings, all built with the same sleek, durable design. Now, for a limited time, our listeners get 10% off at Ridge by using code OUINSIDER at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use code OUINSIDER, and you're all set. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
All right, Parker. First and foremost, I think just kind of quick 5-day, I guess, overall thoughts, or 4 or 5 days later after the Sooners' victory in Knoxville, which was, I have to tell everybody, now that I've watched it, and I've watched some of the YouTube stuff as well from like the fans' perspectives and stuff like that, and even went back and watched some of the videos I took. OU, I beg of you to go watch what Tennessee does and what they did during their pregame, their in-game, their TV timeouts, and all of the above, and just replicate that. The formula seems so simple to keep everybody jazzed up and hyped. Obviously, night games, you're a little liquored up and a little bit more, your inhibitions are a little bit gone to the wind, and that amps things up a little bit. But I guarantee you that if that was played at 2:30, that thing still would have been badass, Parker. Badass. I know they couldn't have done dark mode and all that, but my God, that was an amazing atmosphere. Just unbelievable. But having said that, the more I see OU walked away with a victory, the more I'm impressed. Like, that was a huge, huge win. OU is now, them and Texas are right on the cusp of being able to be 9-3 and make it to the college football playoffs right now. Like, they're right there. And that's essentially what the committee said. Agree or disagree?
I would tend to agree for the most part. I think when you look at how it all breaks down, Oklahoma's right where they belong for the moment. Now, I don't think Brandon, and I think it was Joel Klatt that said on his show earlier today that he thinks Texas still has a path with three losses. In a world where Texas had three losses, they would have a win over Georgia and or Texas A&M.
That's huge. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But even so, like I don't know right now that you can count on getting into the college football playoff with three losses, even as an SEC team. And it certainly does you a bit of a favor that it looks like the Big 12 right now, especially if BYU wins this weekend. If BYU can go to Lubbock and win, the Big 12 is probably going to be a one bid league. The ACC really blew their chances to be a two bid league this past week when both Georgia Tech and Miami lost. So it might be a one bid ACC. And so there's going to be room for a bunch of at-large teams from the SEC and Big Ten. So being
Yeah.
in the upper echelon, if you're sitting there at 9-3, it's going to be a conversation point on Selection Sunday. I don't know that you can count on it right now. I don't know that you can count on getting the benefit of the doubt if you are 9-3 and your marquee win at that point is a Tennessee team that might be top 20, might be. So it would do Oklahoma a huge service if they could go beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Because at that point, Brandon, you have a few very key data points. For one thing, you have an SEC. Well, you have a marquee win. You have an objectively marquee win. You beat Tennessee. Sure, you beat Michigan, but Alabama is the marquee win on your
Yeah.
schedule at that point. Moreover, you finish the season 3-0 in the SEC in true road games. That is something the committee will consider. And
What about Michigan? Like the fact that they're probably going to be 10-2 with a loss to Oklahoma and Ohio State.
yeah, I mean that wins a resume booster, certainly.
You
I
wouldn't
would
call
say that
that the
probably.
marquee win?
No, it is a marquee win. It is. It's not the, well, it might be the marquee win right
I would
now.
think it
There's
would be.
certainly a case
Yeah.
that Michigan is a better win than Tennessee. Circumstantially, I would still say Tennessee because Oklahoma had to go on the road to win that game. And I think Tennessee is a better football team than Michigan. But you beat Alabama on the road. That is the feather in your cap. I don't know that I would bank on Oklahoma being able to sneak in at 9-3. I don't know that I would bank on Texas being able to sneak in at 9-3. You're just leaving too many things to chance at that point. And so you can't really be upset with the outcome one way or another on Selection Sunday if you leave it to chance. Oklahoma, if they go beat Alabama, though, they control their own destiny the rest of the way. And that's that.
Yeah, I think you could actually lose to LSU or Missouri and you would probably still get in. But Spencer, our producer, just sent us a very cool in our little chat that we have for our production. Said calculate this is calculated probability to make the college football playoffs. And I think he labeled it what is the Allstate calculator on ESPN.com. Oklahoma's chances at 9-3 is still close to 60%. They would have a less than 1% chance at a first round bye, obviously. They'd have a 21% chance to host the first round. And they would have a 37% chance to be the first round visitor, which the math isn't mathing for me there, because that would tell me that if you have a I'm just trying to figure all this out, Parker, because I work in worlds of 100%. So to me, that's kind of the ideal way of doing things. But 37% to be a first round visitor would mean that you would have a 63% chance to host in my world.
No,
However, I know,
no,
I know, I know. But I said I work in worlds of 100%. I don't like all the whole probabilities and because of this scenario or this scenario bullcrap, because man, that makes your mind explode, really. Like that's why they have
I mean,
computers do it.
that number right there, 58% chance to make the playoff at 9-3, that kind of speaks to what I just talked about, right? Which is that it's kind of, I guess it's slightly north of a coin flip, but in essence, it's a coin flip. You're leaving a lot to chance if you roll into Selection Sunday at 9-3. So Oklahoma,
I
like
mean,
they
you're about a
gotta.
third, basically, is what you're looking at, close to a third, one third of a chance or something to that extent. I mean, give or take, obviously.
Say what now?
58%, I said you're closer to a third than it would be a half as far as the chances of making it. I'm saying, excuse me, not a third, excuse me, two thirds is what I was going for. Two thirds, excuse me.
Oh,
Sixes,
okay, that makes a lot more
yeah.
sense. You're
Got it.
still
Sorry.
technically
Excuse. Yeah, I guess it's
you're
right in the
still
middle.
slightly
58,
closer to
50,
a half.
yeah, 66. I guess it's 8%, give or take either way, right? Yeah,
But yeah,
well.
again, like the crux of the message is you're
I
leaving a
meant two
lot to
thirds, not a
chance.
third, obviously. But yeah. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I don't know. I just feel like the way that all this is working for obviously the ACC, it sucks. The Big Ten hasn't been great. I think Ohio State and Michigan, Oregon, right? I think obviously Indiana, but that's it. That's been it. And Michigan's not going to get in with two losses because their schedule's been just like the Big Ten's just been junk this year outside of the top four. The SEC's been really good. And that's what, and the thing I got, and I was watching Herb Street earlier, and I guess Joey Galloway, I guess it was yesterday. And Herb Street said, I'm a Big Ten guy. I would love for the Big Ten to be better than the SEC. Like he flat out said it. He goes, I'm an Ohio State alum. Why would I not want the conference that I grew up playing in, grew up loving to be the top conference? But the NFL, the college coaches even vote the SEC is the best, how they rank the teams. Therefore, the fans that come out and say, oh, there's this bias, or oh, there's that hypothetical, wins that the SEC always comes up with, it's just bull crap, dude. He said worse than that, but it is. It's bull crap. And it's tougher. Like, I used to be that person that would mock the SEC and how they thought. It didn't take me long covering it and seeing just the throes of being in the SEC, how tough it is. It's real, Parker. It's real. And coming away 9-3 with one of your non-conference games, with OU schedule, and then one of your non-conference games being Michigan, and you got a dub with that. That's why Oklahoma is where they're at. Similarly with Texas, they went to Ohio State, Parker. They lost to Ohio State. That's why OU in Texas, the committee is saying they schedule tough non-cons, two of the toughest, if not the two toughest non-conference games in all of college football. And we're going to reward them for that because their conference is so dang tough as it is. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't have a problem with it because I'm going to say I'm biased on this. I want to cover a playoff game. It's been too damn long, Parker. Too damn long.
6 years.
Yeah, man.
Six
Hey,
years.
I kid you not. Started back in 2013 doing this.
You got spoiled for a little while
I
there.
got freaking spoiled, man. I didn't. There wasn't a year I didn't go. This has been too long, man. It's been too long. We have any super chats, by the way?
Yeah, folks, if you have a question for us that you would like answered over the course of the stream, send it to us in super chat form. That means we will address it. It'll get bumped to the top of the queue, and we'll make sure we cover every single super chat before the end of the show. We have a super chat from Jeff Fellows who asked, do we have any chance of Zane Rowe recommitting?
Yes, you do. You have a pretty
Certainly.
decent chance. Yeah. A really good chance, actually. So I guess as far as that goes, you know, he likes Georgia quite a bit.
He does.
He likes Texas A&M quite a bit. But I think Oklahoma is right up there with them as far as they may be still the top team, to be honest with you. He's never going to come out and really say it because he got burnt when he came out and decommitted and said, no, well, they're still my top team. And I think he wanted to open it up, and he opened his mouth up a little bit to where he didn't get the push that he thought he was going to get. So he kind of retracted back. So you're really not going to get the openness and the vibe of him just saying, yeah, that's my top team, or just giving it away at this point. But everybody I talk to down there around Geyer says that Oklahoma is still going to be really, really hard to beat. His relationship with Miguel Chavis is just out of this world close. So,
Well, and
go
you got
ahead.
to think about it like this. I'm going to make a sitcom analogy here. Zane Rowe and Oklahoma are like Ted and Robin in How I Met Your Mother. You know, when you have, when your first love, in essence, because Zane Rowe's first love was Oklahoma in the recruitment process. When you go your separate ways with your first love, but neither party slams the door shut on the relationship, and y'all just keep hanging out and hanging out and hanging out and continuing to spend time around one another, it's not hard to figure where that's probably going to lead in the end, right? So I do like I'm going to affirm until I have concrete reason to believe otherwise. I'm going to continue to reaffirm the notion, because it is my sincere belief that Oklahoma is the lead dog for Zane Rowe. Now, once OV season rolls around, we'll see where things stand. If he's uncommitted at that point, that's where things could get a little bit tricky in terms of being able to hold off the other competitors for Zane Rowe's commitment. But just in a vacuum, I really like Oklahoma's chances to get Zane Rowe back in the fold. He's been back up to campus so many times, even since he decommitted. And I think all of the same reasons why he committed to Oklahoma the first time around are the reasons why he probably, in my mind, is going to wind up finding his way back to Oklahoma the second time around.
I kind of agree with that. Like, I just feel like he's that's just a I don't know what it is about Denton Geyer, but I mean, you talk to the people inside the Switzer Center and they'll tell you DFW is the state of Oklahoma. So, it kind of tracks. I do question real quick. I've been like debating with all these Notre Dame fans. How in the living did they get number 11? How? Outside of just having a Golden Dome helmet, how? If you're gonna, don't you dare defend Notre Dame.
Why
Don't
not?
do it because they suck. They're not that good. They've won six games against the Sister of the Traveling Poor in USC, and we. I'm not a. I do not think USC is all that great.
Notre Dame right now is on a six-game winning streak. Their two losses in weeks one and two
I
of the
guess USC
season,
beat
mind
Michigan,
you.
so.
Their two losses in weeks one and two of the season were a 3-point loss to Miami and a 1-point loss to undefeated Texas A&M. That is why Notre Dame is ahead of Oklahoma and Texas. And
Because
the
of
eye test would tell you.
a good loss.
What now?
Because of a good loss.
Because their losses are better. Yes.
My better. Better than Ole Miss's? Better than OU losing to Ole Miss? No.
Well, okay. Yeah.
The Texas
Yes.
A&M, I'll give you. You said two.
Yeah.
Miami is not a good loss.
A
Miami is
3-point
not
loss to
good.
Miami, an 8-point loss to Ole Miss. I mean, put those two on relatively equal footing. A 1-point loss to undefeated Texas A&M looks a lot better than a 17-point loss to
But
Texas.
we're rewarding for losses. Like, when did that happen? When did
We're not
that become a
rewarding
thing?
for losses.
Because
We're comparing
there were
resumes.
times when that they were like, you need to reward them for a good loss, or you need to reward them for a good loss for playing a tough team. And then they do that some years, and then they don't other years. They need to be consistent with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not rewarding anybody for a loss. It's Oklahoma more because they lost by 17 to Texas, and you're going to ding Texas more because they lost by two possessions to a Florida team that fired their coach a couple weeks later. And so
Miami is not a great team, dude. Like you, they that is that that I just can't get over the Miami. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they're not great. They lost to
they may not
Louisville.
be a great team, they're certainly not a bad team.
They're not. That's not. They don't have a better Texas. Losing to Texas and Ole Miss is a better than Texas A&M and Miami at this point. I'm sorry. It just is. I would just disagree.
Okay.
I would disagree with that. The chat agrees with me, by
I'm sure they do.
the way. All right.
Yeah, and look, like the chat's saying, yeah, you reward for wins, certainly, which is why, like as we've talked about, if Oklahoma goes and beats Alabama, that's the type of marquee win that if you go 9-3 is going to be a key distinguishing factor when the selection committee is comparing resumes on Sundays. But you have to go beat Alabama first.
And, right now, I think that at this point, can you really, like, do you trust Oklahoma at this point? Like, do you trust Oklahoma at this point? Like, what I saw last Saturday makes me think that you had the bye week, and if our Mason Thomas is healthy, it's not that I don't think Danny Okoye can't go in and do it, or Taylor Wine or PJ or whoever they put at defensive end, Marvin Jones Jr. It's not that I don't think, but having him at DN is such a big deal, particularly against a more generic, not so much generic offense, but a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Off type of offense that is a more standard offense than what Tennessee throws at you or Ole Miss throws at you. They make it hard to get sacks because of how quick, for one, how quick they move the ball down the field, how quick they get up to the line. And they use a lot of quick game. They use a lot of RPOs that really kind of slow down things, right? As far as your pass rush goes. That's not Alabama's offense. I actually think that you could probably equate Alabama's offense. It's going to be closer to what South Carolina does and did under Shula than as far as like how they operate, than it is Heupel and Kiffin. So I actually trust the defense more. Even though Ty Simpson's great, I love Ty Simpson. I think he's amazing. I just think this game is tailor-made for OU's defensive line. I really do. Now, flip to the other side. I don't think it's tailor-made for OU's offense. I just don't. They're going to have to really rely on 24. And keep the ball away as much as you possibly, just like they tried to do with Tennessee, right? Like, slow the game down a bit. It almost got out of hand. If it wasn't for Owen Heineke, Parker, we may be talking about something completely different right now. That changed the whole fabric of the ball game against Tennessee. But it allowed Oklahoma to start to control things more, take more time off the clock between defensive possessions. So they're going to have to do that. I just, and this is just early thoughts, 2 weeks out. But I guess the question to you is, do you trust Oklahoma now? Do you trust them to the point where you think, not, I know the wording, can they go in? Of course they can. Do you feel confident they can go in and win at Alabama?
I don't know if confident would be the word I would use. I would say I'm optimistic that they can go to Alabama and put up a fight. And there's a world, right, where if they play their best 60 minutes of football this season against Alabama, yes, they can absolutely will win that game. And I would say will win that game at that point. Because to me, what you witnessed Saturday night at Neyland Stadium, you witnessed Oklahoma silence the building. The building full of 102,000 rowdy Vol faithful, with what was probably a C plus performance overall. Like, give me an A minus. Give me an A minus type of performance in Tuscaloosa. And I think one of two things happens. Either Oklahoma wins the game outright and has their marquee win on that resume, or they keep it tight enough, play it close enough football game, a final possession type of football game, such that it's really not something that the committee is looking upon with disgust on Selection Sunday. The thing that I think that I fear the committee may look upon with disgust, if especially if they finish like 8-4, it is going to be that 17-point loss to Texas. But again, you have the extenuating circumstance of John Mateer's return from surgery. But between like outside of that game, if you can stomach that game, and your only other losses are a one possession loss to Ole Miss and a one possession loss to Alabama, you're probably, and again, I don't want to take anything for granted, but you're probably on the right side of the divide at that point. You're probably on the right side of the bubble.
You need Missouri to scare the crap out of A&M this weekend. I don't think they're going to. You need them to. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out, Missouri has Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and who's their last game? Parker? Do you have
What now? Whose last game?
Missouri?
I could not tell you. Do not have a
They
wait, it
have
might be
Texas A&M.
Arkansas. Is it Arkansas? I think it's Arkansas.
Okay. So, I mean, honestly, you need Missouri to beat Texas A&M, which I think they're down to like their third string quarterback at this point. Not great. And is it at Missouri or is it at Kyle Field?
It's in Columbia this weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, then that helps. That helps significantly. All right. We'll get to that. Real quick, somebody was, can't remember, chat's moving so fast. This is why we do the super chats, people. Somebody said, well, drum hold up. I think Alabama's number 72 overall in rush defense. Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, Ole Miss wasn't great at run defense. Neither was Tennessee. And they did a pretty good job with Oklahoma for a little bit until Oklahoma wore them down in the second half, and that's what I'm talking about. Wear them down. I'm not worried about the offensive line in the run game. That's why I said give the ball to 24, lean on him. I'm worried about the pass blocking against that Alabama pass rush. And I know they're not like the best of the best, but you're playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium. That's not great. I think it does work in OU's favor. That is a 2:30 kickoff. I think that was like a blessing from the gods, Parker. Though I'm absolutely, as a fan of college football, I'm kind of disappointed in that. Not gonna lie. I know we were all talking about on the trip home, night game, Bryant-Denny's gonna be amazing. That was a letdown. Super letdown. All right, real quick, David Chamberlain, as always, appreciate the super chat. If you want us to read your questions and you have questions for recruiting, whatever, it doesn't matter. You give us a dollar. We don't care. Just so it pops up to the top is all we care about. Recruiting, team questions, injuries, whatever. We'll answer whatever you got if it's a super chat. The only advantage Bama has against OU is their passing game, and it's not scary. It's okay. OU will win. I just, that thought, Ty Simpson is better than okay.
Ty
I do.
Simpson's in the Heisman conversation.
Yeah,
I
he's
don't
the
think
real
he's the
deal.
front runner right now, but he's in that conversation.
Yeah.
He can ball.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I, outside of Ryan Williams, I don't think they have like, they don't scare the crap out of you like they used to with their wide receiver unit. But Ty Simpson's a dog. You know who's going to be looking forward to coming back?
Who would that
Bama,
be?
if he's healthy, mind
R.
you.
Mason Thomas.
Well, no, yeah, I think OU fans said, hell yeah.
I like R. Mason Thomas going up against Caden Proctor because Caden Proctor, historically speaking, has not dealt especially well with speed rushers like R. Mason Thomas.
Which
Now,
is,
obviously, R. Mason Thomas isn't just a speed rusher, but speed rushing in particular is one thing he's really, really good at.
yeah, it's like Conjo back in the day, I think, is who Eric Stryker used to just absolutely abuse for Alabama, who was he was a first round draft pick, right? And but he wasn't great against speed rushers. Which, but as you talk about Caden Proctor, that's super weird because he's so athletic to not be good against speed rushers. And the fact they're running pop screens to him and handing the ball off, like you would think his athleticism would allow him to be great against somebody like everybody, just everybody. He's up for the Lombardi, which OU defensive line got absolutely screwed on that. Our Mason Thomas got screwed with the Lombardi semifinalists.
Heck, Taylor Wine.
Now, I know, I named that too.
Taylor
I said
Wine
Taylor
might have had a
Wine,
stronger all-around case than R. Mason Thomas.
Jaden Jackson, David Stone, they all had a case. They just got screwed. Like not having one of those four, Parker, that's just, there's just, this is a mockery.
Well, and here's the problem. Here's the problem they're in. All of those guys probably stand out less because they're all so good. You know, so it doesn't feel like, oh, Oklahoma has that great edge rusher that's head and shoulders above everybody else in the group. And, you know, he sticks out like a sore thumb for that reason. No, Oklahoma has an incredible defensive line. And when everybody's playing at a high level, well, individually speaking, nobody really sticks out nationally. Obviously, locally, we're all well aware of what R. Mason Thomas has done and what Taylor Wine has done and what David Stone and Jaden Jackson and Grayson Halton have all done. But nationally, you know, guys stick out more when they don't have a whole lot around them in terms of a
Yeah.
supporting cast. When you have an elite supporting cast, you're going to stand out a little bit less.
For sure. David Chamberlain. No, I was. I appreciate the second super chat, but I actually was going to read your other comment. Mateer was in Heisman conversation as well. Fair, but Ty Simpson's been doing it consistently since week two. After that flop of a game versus Florida State, he's been on one.
And he did not undergo thumb surgery. So, not an
Correct.
apples to apples comparison there. But I mean, Oklahoma's got to play better in the secondary. That's the big thing. But it definitely starts up front. Like, can you generate consistent pressure on Ty Simpson and make him more flustered than he has been to this point in the season by any opposing defensive line? If you can pull that off, if you can accomplish that, then all the ingredients are there for Oklahoma to go win this game on the road. The ingredients are unquestionably there.
I do like the second bye for Oklahoma, not just from a healthy standpoint, getting healthy for that last little bit of a run, right, before, you know, they make that push. But I like it from a standpoint of EPL, Ryan Foje, Michael Fosse, and there's a decent chance you get Jacob Sexton back to add to that rotation at tackle or guard, you know, whatever, at this point. So I think this bye week may come at the most convenient time that I can remember for Oklahoma, as far as just how you need to get healthy, you need to continue to build that cohesiveness with that offensive front, that youthful offensive front that is just straight nasty. They're athletic, they're nasty, they're mean. Eddie Pierre-Louis adds just such another. He just adds a different type of nastiness to that offensive front, Parker. He's going to screw up probably more often than you would like, but he's also going to break some really huge plays for you with his aggressiveness, with his physicality, with the fact that he is always trying to pancake somebody. I mean, he just plays with a different edge. And you see Foje and Fasusi feeding off each other, off him. I think Oklahoma found that. I think that trio of those three, I'm going to say a bold statement, Parker. If Oklahoma can keep them and they don't lose them to NIL, those three could go down as maybe the best trio offensive linemen in a decade at Oklahoma. Now, I don't know if that's bold. It feels
No,
like they're
I mean, I don't
trending.
think
I
like
think they're trending in that ter they're trending in that direction.
when was the last time
Fast.
Oklahoma had two tackles and a guard that were playing this early? And not only playing, but playing well. And all three of them are.
Oh,
I mean,
and
it's a genuine question right now as to whether you even put Derek Simmons back out there at right tackle if and when he gets healthy again with the way that Ryan Foje has looked. So yeah, man, that young nucleus on the offensive line for Oklahoma is incredibly exciting. Incredibly exciting.
no, and here's the crazy and scary part for everybody that is, you know, keeping score. They're probably gonna go grab somebody really good out of the portal this cycle. Probably, I think on defensive line and offensive line, they're gonna spend quite a bit of money. But on top of that, they're going to have 2 5-stars coming in 2027. Not bad. Not bad. Maybe more than that when it's all said and done in 2027, as far as offensive line goes. They're starting to get back to that talent level that they had. I think they all left probably around 2023. Right, as far as like just top tier NFL talent, it feels like it's starting to get back to that part point, Parker. I think, I know people are going to hate on this statement. I think Jacob Sexton had a chance. He just could never stay healthy. As a matter of fact, there were scouts talking about him as the next guy. So if you remember correctly, in 2022, everybody talked about him being the next guy, just couldn't stay healthy. And that's so unfortunate with him. But he was really good when he was healthy. That's the problem. He just couldn't stay healthy. It was unfortunate. But I'm trying to think of, was there anybody else outside of 2023? Like Wanya Morris, obviously. And then after that, I guess Tyler Guyton. And it hasn't been the same since. Just hasn't been the same. It's been a makeshift offensive front.
Well, a lot of
It,
injuries. A lot of injuries. I mean,
a lot of injuries.
that's the reason why Fasusi's playing. That's the reason why Ryan Foje's playing. And again,
Yeah.
like those guys are playing well enough that at this point, If their predecessors at that position were to come back, I think you have like it's no guarantee that you just plug that guy back in at the spot with how Fosu-Ussi has played and with how Foje has played, and mindful of the fact that, you know, they are your future at that position as true freshmen.
Okay, real quickly, there's this the stop with the Sexton BS. This is just gonna I'm gonna it just irritates me when people do this. He was never good. That's BS is what that is. And here's why. They didn't bring back Tyler Guyton when they could have because he was playing so well in 2023. A first round draft pick. Venable said that up there on the podium, like out of his mouth. No reason to bring him back. Sexton's playing well enough. And he never had, he wasn't getting beat or blown up or anything like that. Everybody looks to 2024 and all the injuries, and you have like this mindset of, well, that's who he was. That's not who he was. He was good enough that they were talking about him, and Parker can even vouch for this. In 2022, they were talking about him as the next big thing at tackle. That's why they were going to start him. And he tore his knee up. He comes back, and he was good enough to hold off a first round draft pick. And then he got hurt again, and he never was the same. I'll give it to you. He never was the same, but just say he was never good. It's just misinformation. It's not true because he was. But everybody has a recency bias, and I'll respect it. It's just like I'm guilty of it. I did it with Mateer. So, like, I'm guilty of it. But, like, to say he wasn't good, I just don't think it's fair. Ever. Anyways, go ahead.
MES in the chat was dropping some analytics on us.
Okay.
Total offense ranking number 24, Ty Simpson number 25, John Mateer. And then he said, must educate Parker on weekly football analytics. He isn't plugged into college football analytics for some odd reason. It's not that I'm not plugged in, MES. It's that I don't pay attention to all of the analytics, because you can make analytics say whatever you want them to say. Here are the statistics that matter with Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson has 20 touchdowns and one interception on the season. He's 12th in the country with a QBR of 81.6, and he's completing 68% of his passes. So objectively, he is playing at an elite level right now. Regardless of what of how you want to make the analytics paint the picture. If you just watch Ty Simpson on a Saturday with your own two eyes, it's very clear. Okay, that's one of the better quarterbacks in college football. He also said, I think, or Parker thinks Notre Dame's USC win is greater than OU's Michigan and Tennessee wins. That's shocking. Never said that. Oklahoma does have better wins than Notre Dame, but Notre Dame has more palatable losses. They have not lost a game by more than 3 points. Like I said, they're two losses. Miami by three in the opener, Texas A&M by one the following week. So it was far more excusable in the eyes of the committee than a 17-point loss to Texas. That's just reality.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Well, I Oklahoma will be on the road. The staff will be on the road this week. I'm got some notes I'm posting up here later tonight in the morning on just that, along with they're working on some pretty remarkable flips.
Ooh.
There is a name that nobody has talked about in quite some time, actually, probably since this summer. That Oklahoma is working on very, very ferociously to pull the old flipperoo on. And yes, he is a four star. So, or at least he was a four star at one point. I don't know if he still is. I have to look. Still an amazingly good player. There's multiple, actually. One's 26, one's 27. Then obviously there's the wide receiver flips they're still working on. There's a couple of offensive linemen they're still working on as well. We'll see how that goes. But did you see Jaden Pettit's? Dude, his final stat line and his film
Yes,
for
his numbers are ridiculous. He
insane.
averaged over three touchdown catches a game as a
Insanity.
senior.
Insanity. That
That's a
dude is
guy you
a
want. I mean, if
He
Oklahoma.
looks like a grown man. He looks like an NFL guy already, Parker.
He really does. He does look like an NFL guy. And man, like it's very few guys that you can genuinely say that about as seniors in high school. Like with no sarcasm, no hyperbole whatsoever. No, Jaden Petit looks like an NFL football player
Yeah.
right this second. And if that, I don't know that it's going to be as seismic as like flipping Peyton Bowen on signing day a couple years back from Oregon. But if Oklahoma can pull Petit off late in the cycle, what an
Huge.
enormous win that is. And it's probably the biggest, it's probably the biggest late cycle recruiting victory for Oklahoma since Eddie Pierre-Louis in December of 2023.
Yeah, Eddie Pierre-Louis, we talked about him being an OU fan his whole life. I totally forgot about that. Like that
Yeah.
just lo like was just out of sight, out of mind with me that he there's that video of him saying he wants to be an Oklahoma Sooner when he gets grows up on his birthday. What was he like, 10, 8, something like that when he did that? You remember how old he was?
Oh, he was probably 11, I would say, 10 or 11.
He looked like a 15-year-old. It's freaking huge. Those linemen, man, at that age, there's always one or two of them in every league. There was a super chat, I believe.
Yes, Solo says, who will be our highest ranked recruit in 2026? Not an answer that's going to shock anybody,
Bo
Solo,
Bentley.
but my expectation would be that it's Bo Bentley.
Or Jake Crail, one of those two would have to be your picks, right?
And I think it'll be Bentley just because I don't know that the industry is quite as divided on him as they are on Krell. There are those that love Krell. There are those that think Krell's just going to be a guy at the next level because of his lack of size, lack of prototypical size. So,
You know what that sounds like?
who does that sound like?
Oh, there's this guy. He wears number 32 for Oklahoma. Everybody was pretty split
Yeah,
up on
but yeah,
him.
okay. He never flew quite as high as Jake Krell did in the rankings. Like,
No, but everybody, the reason was because of his size. Everybody said he was undersized, undersized, undersized.
I gotta go find the receipts. I gotta go find the shows that we did in the spring of 2022 where I'm pounding the table saying our Mason Thomas is gonna be the real freaking deal.
I think anybody that watched him, I know he works for another company, but there's a Florida guy down there that was very high on him. So that I think we were probably the only three that really like were. And I'm not talking about Garcia. You know what I'm talking about though.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just there's only about three of us that really felt like he was like the real deal, McCoy. And he came from such a great program, high school program that just puts out Division I talent, plays at such an upper level of Florida high school football. And he was producing. I don't know how you could watch that. And here's the other thing. Anytime Iowa State offers somebody, I think you go take a look. That's how I look at it because they're some of the best evaluators in college football, period. I don't think that's debatable. Think about all the players that they've offered that have just been taken from them when the big dogs come and find, yeah, they're pretty
Milan Paris,
good.
right?
Huh? Yeah,
Milan
Milan,
Paris.
yeah. Milan Paris, R. Mason Thomas, oh my gosh, for Miami, the starting defensive tackle.
Reuben Bain?
No, not
Or,
Ruben.
no,
No,
not Reuben
no.
Bain. Ahmad Moten is who you're
Amon
thinking
Moten
of.
is who I'm thinking of. Yep. Yeah, man, like crazy how good they are. By the way, those that are guessing Gross as the flip I'm hinting about, negative ghostwriters on that. That ship sailed.
Jeff
It's
St.
been sailed.
Patrick tossed us $2 via the super chat and said, Cam Coleman or TJ Moore in the portal? I can't quite make out what that question is in, like is he asking which we
Which one
would
would they go for?
prefer or whether either of those two guys winds up at OU?
Well, there's
A
been
Cam
some buzz
Coleman
about Cam Coleman for a while behind the scenes.
Really?
Getting in the portal?
Well, yeah, getting in the portal, but like him and OU?
No, him in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Coleman's going to cost a small fortune.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll be
DJ
true to
Moore
quite
wanted
the
to be a
same
singer.
extent, but that like this, I think the same is true of TJ Moore. However, you know, like there's at least a background there, right? There's at least a connection between TJ Moore and OU because if I recall correctly, he did OV to OU.
He did. He wanted to be a Sooner, and they chose.
There was a brief moment in time where there was a thought he might flip to OU even after committing to Clemson. He's got his former high school teammate and classmate in Eddie Pierre-Louis in Norman. So that helps. I mean, if TJ Moore got in the portal, obviously that's something worth monitoring. I have no faith whatsoever that if Cam Coleman got in the portal, he and Oklahoma would be a match. Because
You don't think that Oklahoma, in that scenario, you don't think Oklahoma wouldn't drop 1.5 to get him?
I don't know what they
I
would
do.
drop numerically. I know that there are other schools that would be willing to drop more.
Probably right. What I would say, if you're Cam Coleman, that's great. Let's say John Mateer returns. You're going to have Isaiah Satania on one side, which is going to keep you from getting double teamed, mind you. Right? You're going to have a really talented wide receiver core around you that is going to help. You're going to have John Mateer. You're going to have an offensive line that's going to be able to block for the run game. You're going to have Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blalock. You're going to have a run game. You're going to be open. That would be my selling point at that. But again, 1.5 and somebody offering 2 million is $500,000. That's quite a bit of money. I would guesstimate like you that he'd probably take the 2 mil if Oklahoma threw 1.5. But I think Oklahoma, I think they would at least try. But if you could get TJ Moore for like 1.2, I would do that too. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Could you imagine? Just imagine Isaiah Satania, TJ Moore. Trying to think who else would be coming back in this. Obviously, Elijah Thomas, but we haven't seen a whole heck of a lot from him. Javonte Gibson,
Jermichael
right?
Carter.
Jermichael Carter, who's starting to come around, right? Starting to come around a little bit. They're going to be really good. And if you could pull Jaden Pettit and throw him out there with it, what? That would be, if you're trying to win a national title, that's how you do it. Then you go grab, I don't know who you grab at tight end, but I mean, obviously they've already brought one. I guess Josh Ford would be a good start. But I don't know, man. Or you just play who you brought in, right? Maybe Ryder Mixed becomes big enough and good enough to play. Tyler Ruxer. I don't know, man. I just think next year's offense is going to be fun as hell to watch. I really do. I really do. We talked about it the other day, Parker. Starters coming back next year. I guess you can say now Oklahoma's going to have quite a bit offensive starters coming back because Simmons isn't starting. Sexton's not starting at this point, but Sexton, he can return with his. You have Mikala back. I guess Fabecchi's the only one you really lose on the offensive line at this point, right?
Fabecchi and Simmons, I think that's it.
Yeah, but Simmons going to, are they really going to play Simmons over Foje at this point? Don't see how you could
I
do that.
mean, yeah, no, I think Simmons is probably done as a starter this year.
You lose Burks.
You do lose Burks.
You
I mean,
lose Kanick, and that's
offensively,
it.
there aren't a lot of seniors that Oklahoma graduates on the offensive side of the ball. Javonte Barnes would be another one, but he's not even playing right now. So Barnes, Kanick, Wiwu, Simmons, Burks, and then Keontez Lewis. That's pretty much it.
So essentially, you're just losing Fabeche as far as
Well,
mechanic, mechanic.
and also Jaden Ott. No more Jaden Ott. Aw, shucks.
Oh, you get all that money back. There you go. You can take some of that and go throw at Cam Coleman. But or on the defensive side, you lose Grayson Halton, Marvin Jones Jr., R. Mason Thomas. Did R. Mason not redshirt in 2022?
He did not.
Did he redshirt in 23?
No, he did not.
How? Dude didn't play.
Yeah, he did.
But not much. He was hurt almost all 23 or 22. He was hurt, right? Or 23. Which one
He
was
was
he
hurt for
hurt?
some of the 23 season,
Felt
not
like
the
he was hurt a
majority of
long
it.
time in 23. I don't know why. So you lose R. Mason Thomas, Marvin Jones Jr.,
Grayson Halton, Dominic
Grayson
Williams.
Houghton, Dominique Williams,
Robert Spears Jennings.
Robert Spears Jennings. I mean, that's a lot.
And Kendall Daniels.
And can oh dude, that's tough. Kendall Daniels one's tough. I mean, all of them are tough, but like Kendall Daniels losing to Cheetah is tough. I just feel like Oklahoma's recruited so well on the defensive front that you're gonna be all right. Like I think Oklahoma's gonna be really good next year. They're gonna return six starters or seven? No, six. They'll return six starters on defense and 10 on offense. It's pretty good. It's a lot of percentage back. A lot. What of this weekend, if you had like upset alert, let's pull up the schedule real quick. If you had
Okay.
upset alert, who do you think it would be?
I mean, this schedule is very bland
It
this
sucks.
weekend.
It really
Like,
sucks.
I guess maybe Mississippi State, Georgia in Starkville could get spooky.
That's the one I looked at earlier.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Oregon going to Iowa could be a potential pitfall. There's really not much.
You got BYU, Texas Tech. It was really good
Keep an
game.
eye out. Keep an eye out for the fired coach bump with Auburn going to Vanderbilt, though.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. I would hate it though, just for my guy McConnell. I really, really like Mississippi State. I don't know why. There is something in my gut that says that they're going to scare the living piss out of Georgia. I may be
By the
completely
way,
off my rocker, but I've been my upsets a bit. Parker can vouch for this. My upsets this year, my calls on those have been spot on this
you gonna
year.
let me and Travis bully you out of it this time?
No, you didn't last week. I held on to that. I held on to the SMU. I held on to Oklahoma, the only one that picked OU, mind you. But I wasn't confident in it, but I said, I'm taking them. So I'm riding high on
Brennan
that one.
Thompson, Biletnikoff Award semifinalist. How
Good for
crazy is
him.
that?
But you could see it. Like you could see it being a potential. If he could ever just stay healthy for a whole season, how good of a downfield threat he is. Kind of like, you know what it reminds me of is Hollywood Brown. Like he has that speed, right? That just unattainable speed that he's going to stretch the field two or three times a game. That's going to add up to a century mark on the yards and a touchdown or two. And that's what he's become. This is essentially what he's become. He's not running a lot of digs. He's not running a lot of crossers. He's going straight down the field and saying, catch me if you can. And they're just throwing the ball up as far as they can and say, go get it, brother. And he's doing it. But he fits Lebby's offense too. Like everything about him fits Lebby's offense. I think Isaiah Satania would have over 1,000 yards already if he was in Lebby's offense. With his
We
speed. Go ahead.
We have a few more super chats we got to speed through before we wrap up here.
Okay.
And now this freaking web page is lagging out on me. But Mark says, $5 from Mark. Love you, dudes, and everything you do. Is Marvin Jones Jr. having the breakout season y'all thought he needed to? I think he's been a solid rotation guy. He sure has. He's
Yeah, he's
brought
been
value to
awesome.
the table for Oklahoma. Has he put himself in NFL draft conversations? I don't know about that, but in terms of his value to Oklahoma, not in terms of his value to NFL front offices, yes, he's had a good year.
I think he's a late round guy. I think his athleticism is going to translate. The lineage of his father is going to translate. I think somebody's going to take a chance with him 5 through 7. I really do. Plus, he's a Bates. He's a Todd Bates, Miguel Chavis, Brent Venables disciple at this point. And once you have, and the fact that he played for Kirby Smart as well, I think that's going to go a long ways for him. I really do. I think if you could take out those two, I bet you if you stuck truth serum in Parker, I think he probably would have came to Oklahoma from Georgia the first time around if he had to do it all over again. And we probably
Could
wouldn't be
be.
talking about this. The dude would already be probably in the NFL at this point, unfortunately for him.
Say some shift gave us $2 and asked, what's going on with Dolby Boomer? He's not playing. And he's not playing by choice. That's that.
Red shirt.
Showtime 409. Gave us $2 and asked O-line starters prediction for Bama. I think it'll be the
Same
exact same that you
ones.
saw against Tennessee. Like, why would you screw with that? I don't see any reason to.
No, it's 2 weekends in a row that they've got the run game going, that they've started to get the cohesiveness. And it started a little bit against South Carolina, right? But it got better against Ole Miss. It got better against, way better against Tennessee in that hostile environment. Those freshmen have had their teeth cut already. They're not afraid of the atmosphere. They're going to be healthy. Like Fasusi has been still trying to get back from his ankle issue. He's going to be 20 times more healthy than he has been in forever. As long as nothing happens in practice, knock on wood, this O-line has a chance to be exactly what you all were hoping it was going to be, to start the year. Just young, athletic, and they play with a nasty edge to them. And if they can do that on Saturday, next Saturday night, holy crap, you got something cooking there.
House Money
House of
Production,
Money. Yep.
$5. 402
Yep.
Gang, P Thugga, what's poppin'? Mateer back next year? OU Natty? At this point, yeah, I think John Mateer comes back and OU Natty. It's way too early to tell, man. I mean, so
25 years,
much.
Parker.
I
25
know.
years.
I know. We're
It's
due,
almost your
right? Like
age.
Oklahoma wanted in 50 and 75 and in 2000. So this has got to be their year, right? This has got to be the year where the drought ends. But no,
Wait, would it not be hilarious if they get hot to end the year?
Red November.
Red November, and they ride that bad boy all the way. Where's the national title at this year? New Orleans or Miami
I
or?
don't have a freaking clue.
Because we weren't even expecting them to
Not
even be there.
it was not on
I'm
my
just straight
radar,
with everybody.
candidly.
Like we're like playoffs, like whatever. Like I believe it's in Atlanta. All the way to Atlanta.
Oh,
I just
fun.
remember that off the top of my head. Atlanta. Yeah. I think. Chat, help us out.
He said, chat, help us
Chat.
out.
Chat. 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 My
But no,
kids
I
say that
think,
all the time. Oh my God, it drives me nuts. But the chat. What are you doing, chat? I don't understand that. But somebody said Miami. It's in Miami.
Miami. Oh, South. Ooh,
That
2000
sucks.
parallelism.
Yeah, that is. It's in Miami. That sucks. Next season's in Georgia. That's right.
Why does it suck that it's in Miami?
That's just so much like It's a long ways away, man. I'm not a big Miami guy. That's more so why than anything else. Not a huge fan of Miami. And it's so expensive every time I go down there. Every time I go eat, it costs like $300 just to eat anywhere.
Where are you eating?
I have a family of five, Parker.
Good point. Good point. I had failed to consider
Yeah,
that.
it's so expensive.
Still,
If I...
you can find a decent Cuban for like 12 bucks.
Right, but we do that, but if like you go out to eat, like just someplace decent, it's so expensive. I dislike it. But that's just how I am. So, all right. Appreciate everybody. I know it's a bye week, but we had really good numbers. From what I'm seeing, man, we're rocking with close to 2,000, brother. Not bad, not bad, not bad, Sooners fans. Thank you guys so much for being on here with us. We love doing this. This is fun for us. Just to get in here and chat with you guys, mingle. Get the pulse of the fans is always fun. So thank you guys for joining us on this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live, powered by Riverwind Casino. If you're not subscribed to this YouTube channel, if you're not subscribed to whatever podcasting platform, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. It's really easy. Just click the subscribe, the like, give us 5 stars, whatever you're listening to us on. Thank you guys so much for listening, for taking time out of your day to join us on our weekly chat. Also, if you are an OU fan and you want to talk about the flips, the notes that we have coming, just the transfer stuff, the injury stuff, basketball, Brody has got some amazing basketball information. He's been popping out over there on OU Insider VIP. Lots of great information, football, basketball, baseball, softball. We've got it covered for you. Whole nine yards, recruiting all the way. Everything's covered for you guys. Go over to OUinsider.com. You get to type that into your URL. Click that green button that says join now. You can get OU Insider for $1 the first week, plus complimentary on three. And OU Insider, you get The Athletic for a whole year. So that's really a 2-for-1 deal. Again, all you have to do is type in OUinsider.com in URL. Click that join now green button when you go there on the front page, and it'll click the button to get The Athletic and OU Insider complimentary for a whole year as well. Plus, it's only $1 for the first week. Don't like us? Easy to cancel. Really simple. Teachers, college students, active duty military. If you have a .edu and you go to Timbuktu University, Oklahoma State, OU, Tulsa, Alabama, New Mexico, whatever, it doesn't matter where you go. We've got them from all over the place. Just email us, OUinsider@rivals.com. We will send you a promo code to make sure you get OU Insider for $1 a month for 3 months. You have to email us from your .edu, though. Same with teachers, K through 12, pre-K through 12. Email us from your teacher's account just to prove that you are a teacher. We'll send you a promo code. Again, email us, OUinsider@rivals.com. Send you promo code to get $1 a month for 3 months. You get all that access. You get all of On3. So, like, you get every On3 site. If you join on OU Insider, you get all whatever 60, 80, whatever, how many sites there are. You get access to every freaking thing on there. So, that's also a good deal. Active duty military, send us from your active duty military account, OUinsider@rivals.com, and we will send your promo code the same $1 a month for 3 months. All right. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.